Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. Please be seated. This is the third in my sermon series entitled Going Old School. If you missed any of the other messages, you can listen to them online on our website. And I've been talking about going old school. When we think about going old school, we think about going and doing something that we used to do in the past and kind of resurrecting that. And sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I'm not old school, I'm new school. I'm all about doing new things. And sometimes we forget there are things that have been done in the past that might be beneficial for us to continue in the present and the future. Sometimes some of those things in the past may not be things that we need to hold on to. I talked last week about things like home perms and candy cigarettes. Things like that may not be something we want to kind of carry on to today. But there are lots of things that we think about when we think about going old school. And certainly last week I asked, the first week of this series, I asked the question, whatever happened to the truth? And last week I asked the question, whatever happened to thank you? And this week I want to ask the question, whatever happened to the handshake? Whatever happened to the handshake? Now, when I'm talking about the handshake, I'm not necessarily talking about how we shake hands with others. In the 1 o'clock service, there's a girl in that service that comes through the line at the end of the service, and she always wants to do this special handshake. And it goes something like this. You go, boom, 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 you know. And so I worked on that for about a month. And every time she'd come through the line, we'd try to do the thing, and I'd get all messed up. And she'd just roll her eyes and walk off. And till one Sunday, I actually got it right. And it was like I won the lottery or something. It was just great. So when we talk about handshakes, we're not really talking just about shaking hands, although that can be important, because when you teach a young person, for example, how to shake hands, a lot of times when we shake hands with young people, it's like shaking a fish or something like that. It's not very strong. But when you teach them to shake hands and look somebody in the eye, it really exhibits and kind of communicates honesty, it communicates forthrightness. And so you can always tell someone who's really connecting with you through that handshake. And so when we talk about handshakes, we're really talking about more than just the shaking of hands. It carries back to the idea of a person having their word being their bond. It used to be that when you made an agreement with somebody, you just had to shake hands, and that's all that there was, because your word was your bond. But it doesn't seem anymore that is so much the case. Many of you may feel like that you're old school. Maybe you might feel like that you think that you're new school, but there may be some things about you that are old school. There, a lot of times, older people want to convey to younger people some of the things that they used to do in the good old days and things that were beneficial for them. There was a grandmother who was trying to train a granddaughter who was visiting for a week, about sewing, how to sew with a sewing machine. And so grandmother spent a whole bunch of time going through all the intricacies of the machine and teaching her granddaughter how to thread the machine and how to get started with sewing. And finally the granddaughter just put her hands on her hips and said, "You mean you know how to do all that and you can't operate a cell phone? What's the matter?" When we talk about going old school, I'm not necessarily talking about going back and doing things the way we used to do them in the past. But what I am talking about is the fact that there are timeless principles and truths that do not change. And so I've been focusing on those timeless truths and principles that do not change. And today I want to ask the question, whatever happened to the handshake? And what I'm asking is, whatever happened to a person's word being their bond? Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5 on page 1507 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 5. You know, if the handshake is just a cultural thing, or if it's just a Texas thing, then we might as well just do away with it. But if it's a God thing, then we need to keep it and pay attention to it. So I think that as we look at Matthew chapter 5 today, we're going to be looking at really what we're talking about is our word being our bond. And so in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 34, "But Jesus said, I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever more is more than these is from the evil one." We live in a time in which a person's word doesn't always mean all that much. When I say yes or no, Jesus is saying here, let that be something that someone can take to the bank. Why do we have so much trouble in this area? Well, perhaps because we've been hurt and we don't trust a lot. Sometimes that breaking of trust affects us. We hear about people who, for example, hire a contractor, and that contractor perhaps takes some of their money and begins to work on a project, and only to cut out halfway through the project and take off with that person's money or not complete the work. A person's word is not always good anymore. In our world today, we don't make it vitally important to do what we say. There are trust breaches. That's why we have so much liability insurance. We're always afraid of being sued for something. The other thing in our world that we have, the idea is that the end justifies the means. If I can accomplish my end, the thing I want to accomplish, it doesn't really matter so much if I step over people or if I take advantage of someone just so I get what I want. It's like if I need to get promoted or if I need to close a deal, it doesn't matter how I get it, just so I get the deal done, just so I get the promotion. We convince ourselves it's just business. We cheat because it's just business. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Jesus' brother James in our second lesson today says much the same thing. When he said, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. We have integrity breaches in our lives. Why? Because we judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. We think more about our intention, but we put a lot of pressure on other people to act and do things the right way. So the question is, how do we begin to practice integrity more in our lives? How do we begin to live a life of integrity? How can we let our yes be yes and our no be no in our lives? Well, first of all, we have to recognize the God we worship. The God we worship is a God of integrity. This is a God who cannot lie. He's not a man like we are that he can lie. He is a God who says what is true. Secondly, we need to get to know Jesus better, because Jesus is the truth. As we get to know the Father and the Son better, we realize that Jesus always spoke the truth, no matter what the consequences. He spoke the truth when he realized that he would be betrayed. He spoke the truth even when he realized that his words would be rejected. He spoke the truth. And we are encouraged in Scripture to speak the truth, but to do so in love. To have our truth be grace-filled. And so as we speak the truth, we're really following in the example of Jesus Christ. He gives us a number of examples to follow when it comes to this area of integrity. First of all, when we begin to practice integrity, integrity aligns our actions with our beliefs. We don't want to be someone who has kind of aspirational beliefs. We want to be someone who has actual beliefs, true beliefs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." Integrity is a guide that can protect us. It can keep us from having to remember a lie that we told, so that when we get into another situation, we don't have to remember that lie that can continue to perpetuate that, for example. Integrity guides us and can protect us. It can protect you in situations that can easily become a temptation for you. Integrity reminds me that I'm a pastor, that I'm a father, and that I'm a husband. Integrity reminds me that I'm not just responsible to myself, but I'm responsible to others as well. Integrity protects me from doing things that would be wrong as a pastor, or wrong as a husband, or wrong as a father. You've heard the phrase, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to go out and visit my daughter in Las Vegas. And when we were out there one day, we went to the Strip. And it was just a whole different feeling on the Strip. It's almost as if everybody kind of left their integrity at home, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You can just kind of throw caution to the wind and do whatever you want to do. It's just like it didn't really matter what they were like at home. They could be a whole other person in Las Vegas. We want to strive to live the same way, not only in church, but also in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our places of business. We want to try to act the same way everywhere we are. Could cheating in business lead to cheating on one's spouse, for example? When we throw off restraint in one area, it's easy to throw it off in any area. So that once we give in to something, once we say, oh, it doesn't really matter what I do now, then it becomes easier to not worry about that the next time. Jesus teaches that integrity can guide us to a blessed life. Another thing we learned from Jesus regarding integrity is that integrity keeps His promise even when it hurts. Jesus made His promise to all of His followers that He would give up His life for their sins, that He would die to make a way of salvation for them. And Jesus knew what lay ahead of Him. He knew that He would be taking upon Himself the sins of the world, past, present, and future, and the agony that went along with that. He knew that He would suffer an agonizing torture and death on a cross. He knew all that was coming, but He made a promise to die for the sins of the world, and He fulfilled that promise. Jesus made a promise, and He kept that promise in spite of the fact that it was going to hurt Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 through 6 says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, 'My vow was a mistake.'" Have you ever made a promise to someone and you wish you hadn't made that promise? You wish you hadn't have agreed to do the thing that you said you were going to do? A number of years ago, I was called by the city council, by someone representing the city council, to come and offer the prayer for the city council meeting that month. And I immediately said, yes, that'd be great. I thought that's quite an honor. Then I began to think about it. I began to realize, I don't really want to do this, because I'm going to go there and I'm going to say a prayer that they probably don't want to hear. And that prayer is probably not going to make any difference. And I'm going to have to drive all the way down there and won't accomplish anything, and not to drive back. And so I began to think about ways that I could get out of it, that I could break this promise that I made. And I began to think of all sorts of things that I might be able to say to this woman to get out of having to do this prayer. But then I finally just got to the point where I said, well, I agreed to do this, so I'm going to do it. When I went down to do the prayer, it turned out to be a real blessing, not only for me, but for others who came up afterwards and said they really that prayer really spoke to them. So I realized that it was something that maybe I didn't feel like doing, I didn't want to do, but I made the promise to do it, and I carried that out. And it ended up being a blessing. That can be the case for us as well. We make a promise to someone and fulfill that promise. It may not seem like it, but it could be a blessing, not only for them, but for us as well. We think to ourselves sometimes, just this one time I'm going to break my promise, and then next time I'll keep the promise that I make. But once we find it easy to break one promise, it's so much easier to break another promise and then another, and not really begin to think much about it. The final thing we can learn from Jesus related to living a life of integrity is that integrity prioritizes your life so that you can commit to what matters most. Integrity prioritizes your life so you can commit to what matters most. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25 says, "An impulsive vow is a trap, later you'll wish you could get out of it. Sometimes we make impulsive vows. We say yes to something without really thinking about what it's going to cost, what it's going to mean. Jesus said, whenever you're starting out to build a building, count the cost first before you say yes. Otherwise, when you start the project and you can't complete it, people will look at you as a fool. Sometimes we say yes to something because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or we don't want to let them down, or we want them to think more highly of us than they should. And so we end up taking on something that we really have no intention of fulfilling. We just want to get them off of our back. Flaky Fred makes impulsive vows because he's trying to get it all. He's bought into the lie that says, I can have it all, and I can have it today. So he tries to please everyone else's intentions for him, not really thinking about what are God's intentions for him. What is God wanting him to do? What does God have for him in this moment, this season in life? He's committed to multiple sign-up lists. He's committed to multiple causes, multiple projects. He has trouble prioritizing. And here's what's going to happen to Fred. He's going to end up really not wanting to do any of the things that he agreed to do. He has trouble saying no, and he's going to say no, but he puts it off. He delays it until later on. Don't be that person who overpromises and underdelivers. So whatever happened to the handshake? Whatever happened to a person's word being their bond? When you say you're going to do something, do it. When you commit to a ministry, fulfill that ministry to the best of your ability. Now, it may be that God won't call you to do that ministry forever. He might call you to a different ministry, and that's fine. But while He calls you to a particular ministry, do that ministry with all of your heart and fulfill your vow and your commitment that you've made. Whatever you're going to do, do it as unto the Lord. And as Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You've reminded us that You are a God who keeps His promises. That You are a God who fulfills the things that You say You're going to do. Lord, so often we recognize in our lives that we're not like that. We tend to make promises we don't keep. We tend to say we're going to do something and we don't do it. And Lord, that reflects not only badly on us, but badly on You as well. Help us to live a life of integrity. Help us to speak honestly with others. Help our words to be not only grace-filled, but truth-filled. We pray that You would give us the power of Your Holy Spirit to be an example to others in a life of integrity. Or we can only do that through Your strength and Your power. We ask that You would fill us now with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.